Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Exodus, and this is chapter 19. Let's all go up to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to bless chapter 19 into our spirit, into our soul, into our very fiber of our being. Father God, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that when we're praying to you, we know that you're hearing us, because you are everywhere. Actually, you fill up everything. All space is occupied by your spirit. Hallelujah. And I praise the Lord for that. Lord, we don't have to yell and scream for you to hear us. You even know the thoughts, our thoughts and intents. We keep our mind stayed upon you. You know everything about everybody and everything that's in heaven and on earth. Lord, bless this chapter 19 into our souls, into our spirits, the mind of our spirit, our mind. And let it give us the strength, Lord, to stand powerful in your spirit another day. For we know, Lord, that you're everywhere, and we don't need anyone but you. All we need is you, Father, you, Jesus. You, Holy Spirit, you're all one, and you're in us. And so, Lord, anoint in Jesus' name, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
Exodus chapter 19, King James Version, verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount.
And now that's Mount Sinai. Okay, then what else? They set camp up there. They wouldn't go anywhere unless the Spirit was leading them. Well, how would they know that the Spirit, this whole nation would know that the Spirit is leading them? Because the Lord led them by a cloud above them, because there was the scorching desert, and he shaded them for 40 years in the desert during the hot, scorching sun seasons. And at nighttime, he'd warm them up by the fire up above them. So it was just a really beautiful thing to have the presence of the Lord there, that you could actually see. He was in the cloud, he's in the fire. Okay, and so that's why we have the Holy Spirit and fire living in our spirits now, because the same God that was in that fire and in that cloud is in us. If you're born again of the Spirit, that fire, the Holy Spirit and fire, and it's keeping me alive. It keeps me warm. It keeps me happy and joyful, because I know that I'm being led by the Holy Spirit. And people that don't have that, I feel very sorry for them. And that's why I reckon that the Lord has had me reading these scriptures and explaining all these things to people, so that they too could maybe grasp on to some of the words that the Lord has given me, so that they too could be have all these attributes of God living in them. The fire, the pillar of cloud to keep them cool in a time when they need to be cool, calm, and collective. In a time of zeal, fire, when they need to be fiery and full of zeal. This is the Holy Spirit and fire, and it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Praise the Lord. Okay, then what?
And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians.
Oh, well, that's really something, where the Lord says, You see what I did to Egypt, to the Egyptians? I tore the whole kingdom to pieces, and killed Pharaoh and his army, and drowned them all in the sea. So I can take in, that was the most powerful kingdom in the world at that time. That I can take any major kingdom apart. That's why the Lord doesn't want us to be involved in politics. Why should we be involved in politics? As though we could change anything inside politics, or that the world system is going to allow us to make any major decisions in government, when God will lead us and direct us, and he tells us not to be involved in the affairs of this world. I trust only in the Lord, and he says that we have to learn to completely cast all of our cares on him. for he cares for us, and that he's the one that's going to take care. He says, you saw what I did, not Moses did, or the people. Nobody voted for Pharaoh. Christ never voted for Pontius Pilate or Caesar or Pontius Pilate. Neither did any of the apostles. But God took care of everything that was supposed to have been taken care of at that time, and the world kept going on, and the Christians kept getting saved, and the Holy Spirit came and filled all of them with the Holy Spirit, and souls gave them the Holy Spirit, the fire of God in them, and the calm and coolness of Stephen when he was being stoned to death, to look up and see Christ and say, I see Jesus on the right hand of God. Amen.
Amen.
And calm, cool, and collective. Probably happened during the day. But praise the Lord. He wasn't at all interested in the things of the world. And that's what the world, the people that are so blind, can't understand. They are so fired up over politics as though some man can solve today's world problems. And every time they think that, the world keeps getting worse and worse. And the United States is no longer one nation under God. What we've done, the people of this world have done, have given this nation over to the world. To the world government. Now it's the world government. Now it's Satan's government. And it's going to get better? No, it keeps getting worse. It's not one nation under God. As a matter of fact, the world government wants God taken off the money, off of everything. In God we trust. So take that out. Get the Bibles out of school. Get anything that mentions God out of the courtrooms. Get rid of God. But this all happened under Bush's administration and Clinton's administration. Did they make it better? No. Now the whole nations are cursed by God. In God, we're well into tribulations. The great seven plagues haven't, a lot of the plagues are hitting. Pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. A lot of people can't see these things, but it's happening. Okay, so here we are at Mount Sinai now. Let's go. Let's keep going.
Verse 4, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians.
Yes, amen. And I see what he's going to do to this world. I saw back even before that what God did to the whole world when he drowned them in the time of Noah. Amen?
Amen.
And how he barbecued Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, yeah. Now we see what he did to the Egyptians. Right. And now pretty soon we're going to see, we can see what he's doing to the whole world now. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to see what he's going to do to the entire world when he burns it to a crisp in the kingdom of heaven. All right? Yeah, then he say, everybody will say, yeah, he's God. They're going to kneel down and confess him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords when he's coming. They'll say, just like Moses' father-in-law said, now I know your God is God. They're going to say, yeah, thou art the Lord. Thou art Lord. Thou art God. Oh, God, hide us from the rocks and the mountains. Everybody's going to kneel down and say that. All these smart alecks that are saying, you know, that God is dead or that you should take all these things, God, the name of God, off of money and everything else, and take any, even the name of God, eliminate it, blot it out completely. Those are the ones that are going to be squirming and burning forever. Then they're going to say, now we know that God is God, that God is the real God, but then it's going to be too late for these smart alecks. Then what else?
Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself.
What do you mean by eagle wings? I got you out by the Spirit. I opened the Red Sea by the Spirit. That's eagle's wings, amen?
Amen.
Better than the wings of eagles. If the Spirit wasn't on the wings of eagles, they wouldn't fly. They wouldn't even be able to walk, amen?
Amen.
But these people walked right through the Red Sea. I never saw an eagle ever do that. Amen?
Amen?
So this is better than eagle's wings, even, in my estimation. Amen?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Then what?
Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice, indeed.
If. Okay, so this is conditional. If you will obey my voice. Amen?
Amen.
Then, indeed. Then what?
And keep my covenant.
And if you keep my covenant. What's the covenant? That means the deal that you and he struck together. Oh, yes, I want to be a born-again Christian. Come into me, make me a new creature, and I'll be a Christian instead of the old creature that I was. I won't commit adultery or fornication. I won't lie anymore. I won't be a lesbian or a homosexual. I'll love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'll love my neighbor as myself. I'll prefer others before me. I won't covet. I won't murder. I won't hate my brother or my sister. But I'll try to win every soul in the world to you, Lord, because you died for them. Okay, so you made that covenant with him. If you break that, I'll serve you. I'll pray without ceasing. I'll serve you without ceasing. I'll pray always. I won't be a fornicator, an adulterer. I won't steal anything. I won't lust after the unsaved, or I won't lust after the saved. I'll lust after you, Lord. All my heart, soul, mind, and strength will be on you. Now, he said, if you keep that covenant, then what? What does he say?
Then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine.
Yeah, all the earth is the Lord's, and all heaven is the Lord's, and everything in the universe is the Lord's, and there's nothing else but that belongs to anybody other than the Lord, and everything that he has will be part of yours if you keep the covenant with him. He says, I'll be your God. Well, what's the reward for serving you, Lord? He says, I'll be your God. And if I be with you, who could be against you? Isn't that enough of a reward in that you'll live eternally? Huh? Isn't that enough?
Yes.
Should really be saying, shouting it. Amen!
Amen.
Well, come on.
Amen.
Come on, let me hear it.
Amen.
It's more like it, for God's sake. For your sake, okay? Everything that God has belongs to us if we keep the covenant. And I would say people that don't say amen loudly are people that don't, they know they don't want to keep the covenant, or maybe they've broken the covenant. So let me hear it again. All those that are keeping the covenant with the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. It's more like it. Amen.
Amen.
Did that break anyone's eardrums? Not mine. Okay, let's go.
Verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation.
That's a promise. He's making a deal here. You'll be a holy nation and a kingdom of priests. What does that mean? Well, he can use you to do his work. Now, people picture priests as, like a Catholic priest. God, that's the last thing you want to be. But a real priest of the Lord is not a Catholic or anything close to a Catholic. It's the exact opposite. It's somebody that walks by the Spirit and speaks by the Spirit and thinks by the Spirit. And doesn't do anything that is not of the Spirit. Okay, let's go.
These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel.
So he's promising everybody in the nation of Israel that he'll make them a kingdom, a peculiar people. That means a special people, peculiarly owned by God, exclusively owned by the Lord. That's what peculiar means, exclusively owned by God. One that God fights for, a nation that God fights for, that protects, he blesses them, he gives them everything under the sun that he wants them to have. He opens up seas for them and the Jordan River for them. And he annihilates all nations that are trying to kill them. People are so afraid today of all these terrorists. But we who are keeping the covenant of the Lord, we're not afraid of the arrow that flies by night. Amen?
Amen.
Or anything that is going on in the world, because we're God's peculiar people. That is, if we do his commandments. Now, we also say, Lord, we'll train up children in the ways of the Lord so they'll not depart from them when they are old. I heard today that there's baby Christians that move in and nobody paid any attention to them. Nobody was with them. Nobody called and let me know what they are doing or anything like that. So I can appoint an older Christian over them. And the man was sitting there. One of them has two sons, around 12 and 14 years old, and they're just sitting there all day long over at Muldrow. And that's supposed to be a bunch of people that are keeping God's holy covenant. I had to call up one of the brothers over there to see if he'd go and do it. He says, yeah, I will, and I've never heard any report back from him as to whether he did it or not. No, we have to communicate one to another, because these are the jewels that are of the Lord, the ones that communicate to each other to let everybody know what they're doing. Because if people don't care about people's souls, the Lord says, that they're not keeping the covenant. And you're not his people. Because he struck a deal that way. He says, yes, I will do what you say. And he says for us to train up the children, the babes in the Lord, to give them milk. To feed them the milk of the word of the Lord, to make sure that there's overseers there. And that's sort of the way that the Lord told Sue and I to run this church. And you just don't see anybody that's interested in that anymore. They're more interested in business or something. And God's not going to bless you for that. And I'm not sorry at all to disappoint you in that regard. Okay, so let's keep going.
Verse 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do.
Oh, boy, that's like an instant response. So that's what people do to you. Oh, yes, everything that the Lord says that we're supposed to do, we'll do. But they answered prematurely because they all dropped dead on the desert. God killed them all, except two of them. They all lied to the Lord. They didn't keep the covenant. But the Lord took him at their word there, but he knows what they were going to do before they did it. Only Joshua and Caleb got into the promised land. There's over 2.5 million of them. Anywhere from 1.5 million to 3 million is the general estimate, because there was over 600,000 strong, just men alone, not including women and children. And a lot of people had like 5, 3, 4, 5, 10 children. Some of them had a lot more than that. But all of them, only the children made it into the promised land. And they believed God so much that when they were asked to march around Jericho for 6 days, and on the seventh day, 7 times, not one of them made a peep in all those days. Now, for a bunch of Jews to not talk or make us one sound in 7 days, that's really a tremendous amount of disciplined people. Amen? Because most Jews I know today, you can't keep their mouth shut. And yes, most of them, you can't even open their mouth to talk about the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
When they open their mouth, it's about gelt, money, or something like that. Or things that pertain to just nothing of any value. Then what? Same thing with Gentiles, so it's no different. Then what else?
And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord.
So in other words, it was a business deal. If you will do all these things, I'll do that. And see, the Lord wanted to hear what they were going to say. And he says, okay, we strike the deal. Everything that you say, we'll do. So we're going to keep the covenant. And so when he asked Jesus to come into your heart and wash you in his blood, to enter into you with his spirit, to wash you clean and make you whole so that God can enter into you, and that you'll be baptized and raised spiritually from the dead, because we're all dead in our sins and trespasses. When the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of life, enters into us, then it ignites our spirit into life. He combines the spirit with ours to where we become a God-man or a God-woman, and we're raised from the dead. Then he says, now take up your cross and deny yourself and follow me daily and go and sin no more. Oh, yes, Lord, we will. Oh, we just love it that we're saved. We're full of zeal. We're not to lose that. You're versus zeal for human souls. And where's the zeal for human souls after they're saved to take care of them as an older Christian would take care, as Jesus would take care of all of the people of Israel, as a mother hen would take care of his chicks? But they wouldn't let him. They wouldn't pay any attention to. There's people that are chomping at the bit to want to hear the word of the Lord, and they wouldn't give the word of the Lord to the baby Christians. And so the Lord says, then you be the older Christian and take all of their blessings. So you do these messages every day, because they're not going to. They won't even read the Bible themselves for one passage or one chapter a day. He says, but I can trust you. That's why I called you, to be above all of them. And they won't listen to you anymore. They think that they're really great in business and all these other things. And he says, there's so much blessings that I would pour out on this church if they would listen to you. And they will not. And he says, the workmen, they don't work with zeal. He says, that's why I want you to hire outsiders to build things, because I don't even want them to touch it, so that they won't go home and brag to their wives that they had anything to do with these buildings, because they're not worthy to even mention it with their mouth, because they're puffed up over nothing. And instead of being witnesses and testimonies and leaders in the Spirit and letting the Lord lead them and guide them, they would get too puffed up and they'd fall away, and they'd cause everybody to fall away with them. But you I can trust. You don't get puffed up. You, when you made a deal with me, you meant it. And I do mean it to this very day. That's about over almost 40 years ago. And so you people, when you speak up like these Jews, you better mean what it says, because even if these are his chosen people, a peculiar people of the Lord, and he struck them dead before they ever entered into the promised land. And what do you think he'll do to you, a bunch of Gentiles who are saying, yes, yes, Lord, and he won't even take care of baby Christians? And a lot of people, you can't even dynamite them out of the church to get them to go out on a witnessing crew. And when they are out there, they just, yeah, 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 we won a soul, we prayed somebody through. And they're really not, you don't win a soul unless they are really saved, like they were in the book of Acts, where every one of them not only said a prayer, but they gave all that they had to the apostles. And it's certainly not because of the fact that the apostles wanted any money, because they didn't. They didn't even carry any money with them. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. Take up your bed and walk. But they distributed the things that were donated to the people as they had need, because there was a lot of people that got saved, thousands of them. And they gave all that they had, and they wanted to go out and serve the Lord, and they didn't just want to, they did it. And they all took the word of God as what it meant. The body that we live in is not our own. We live in there, and the Spirit of God lives in there too. But he says that we are not, that our body is the temple of the Lord. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God, and that you are not your own? You don't belong to yourself anymore. You're supposed to treat your body the way that the Lord wants it to be treated, because he wants to live in there. He doesn't want you eating junk food and not exercising the body. Especially men are supposed to earn their living by the sweat of their brow, and to support their wives and their children, lest they be found to be worse than infidels. Now, infidel is going to hell, so what were a person worse than an infidel go? They go to the lower bowels, the hottest place in hell. And there are degrees in heaven and degrees in hell as well. But it's tailor-made for everybody. So here they're cutting a deal with the Lord. They're splitting the sacrifice right down the middle. You sacrificed your life, Lord, so we're going to sacrifice ours. It's our reasonable duty. This is the burnt offerings. They cut them down the middle, and they put them on the broiler, the pit, the altar, and burnt them. And when a person is burnt up, they turn into a heap of ashes. They no longer belong to themselves. They're nothing. They have to rely strictly on the Spirit of the Lord. And so when you're really a person of the Lord, you don't think about what you anymore. You're thinking about the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. What does the Lord want? Yes, he wants souls. What does the Lord want? Yes, he wants us to read and pray with the baby Christian and to teach him all the different things. And he wants all of the people in the church to watch us doing this, so that they can see the Lord representing himself not only in the church, but in the home and in the community and throughout the world. It isn't just like blurring out the Word of God and then just going home and ungluing and becoming yourself again. No, the Lord says he makes you a new nation, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, and now kings, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is living in you. And he gives you the power to be able to do these things. And how do we know that? Because he said, in the Spirit, not by power or might, but by my Spirit. When the Spirit of the Lord is living in us, we are more than conquerors. But if we're not, if the Spirit of the Lord is not in us, then we're none of his. If the Spirit of the Lord is in us when we pass away, when our bodies die, on the last day he'll raise our body up, just as he did this body of Christ when he rose him from the dead. But if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is not in you, you're going straight down. You say, well, we don't like these threats. Well, you cut a deal before, my friend, and if you don't keep the deal, he doesn't like you either. So the feelings are mutual. Only the Lord really is a person that keeps the deal. If he says you're going to hell, you're going to hell. And there's no way that you can stop it. But not by holding a good thought or by doing anything but serving him. So let that sink deep into your spiritual ears if you have an ear. And the Lord's Spirit says, those that have an ear, a lot of you in this world don't have an ear. Most of the people in this world don't have an ear to hear the Spirit of the Lord. But anyway, they said, yeah, we'll do it, Lord. But they all lied, except two of them. Three of them. Two of them made it in. Moses made it later. Because Moses did a work for the Lord. Okay, then what?
Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever.
Okay, so the thing is that the Lord, he didn't want to appear to him like he did. Moses really meant business with the Lord. If the Lord appeared to them, they says, don't let him appear to us. Don't let us hear his voice anymore. Because if we hear his voice, we'll die. A lot of people are afraid to hear the voice of the Lord. They want somebody else to hear the voice of the Lord and then to come and tell them what the Lord said. That's what they wanted to hear. They wanted Moses to tell them what the Lord said. And you'll find that out later in the scripture. So go ahead now into the commentary.
Okay,
a little bit more of this verse.
And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Translation, verses 1 through 9. The Lord reveals himself at Mount Sinai. The Israelites arrived in the wilderness of Sinai exactly 2 months after they left Egypt. After breaking camp at Rephidim, they came to the base of Mount Sinai and set up camp there. Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called out to him from the mountain and said, quote, Give these instructions to the descendants of Jacob, the people of Israel. Quote, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I brought you to myself and carried you on eagle's wings. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the nations of the earth, for all the earth belongs to me.
Right, but if you don't, I'm going to make you the dung of the earth because the other nations didn't know me like you do. They never saw all these miracles and everything like you do, and they haven't read the Bible, as we do today, to learn what I did. And you know, if you read the Bible, you have to believe God's word so much that you believe that in your spiritual eye you see all the things that he did. And so if you don't believe that, well then, you know, even the Egyptians to this day, there are carvings and all sorts of evidence pointing that these things actually happened back then. And there's no nation in the world that would take a black eye like that if it didn't really happen. Okay, then what?
Verse 6, And you will be to me a kingdom of priests, my holy nation.
Yeah, but it's worse. The Bible says if you go to serve the Lord, and you had one demon cast out of you, and then all of a sudden you decide not to anymore, you decide to break the covenant with the Lord, then he says that evil demon is going to come back to you and take 7 demons worse than the one before, and it'll be impossible for you to be restored back to the Lord. And all there is just a fearful waiting for the time that you give up the spirit in you, the ghost, your ghost and the spirit of the Lord that has already departed from you. You're going to just give that up and you're going to wind up in hell. It's just a fearful knowing that that's going to happen. So you've got to guard your soul. And the Lord has put me here on earth in a time where everybody's lying like dogs to people and telling them all sorts of things that are completely different than what the Bible says and what I'm saying. And the Lord's got me here telling you these things, the truth. Now, it's for sure. Because the Lord is sure and true. He's 100% true. And if he destroyed his own chosen people here, you can know for sure that he'll do that to you. because you were called, and some of us were chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now, the chosen ones are obviously able to convince people that the Lord is telling the truth. But if even they can't do that, and even if the Bible can't convince you of that, then what hope is there for you? Well, I'm just so weak. That's because you're not seeking the Lord for His Spirit to make you strong daily. That's why. Okay, so here they are making this deal. Now, go ahead.
Give this message to the Israelites. Unquote. Moses returned from the mountain and called together the leaders of the people and told them what the Lord had said. They all responded together, quote, "We will certainly do everything the Lord asks of us," unquote.
Uh-huh. Okay, then what?
And Moses brought the people's answer back to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, quote,
"They're just as big liars as the people today. The ones even today are more liars because they see Old and New Testament. These people, all they knew, this is just the beginning of God revealing Himself in this mighty way to them, the whole nation of Israel. Okay, then what?
Quote, "I am going to come to you in a thick cloud so the people themselves can hear me as I speak to you. Then they will always have confidence in you," unquote.
Yeah, they'll always know that you're of me because they'll say, Moses has been talking about this God that's talking to him. And we don't really know if God talks or anything like this. But he says, "Now I'm going to talk to you so all of them can hear me talking to you." The entire nation of possibly up to 3 million people are going to hear my voice blasting right into their ears. And this ram's horn, the sound of a ram's horn ramming into their ears and into their soul until it's like an earthquake inside of their very bodies. And the earth will shake violently while I'm doing it. And they're going to know that I'm talking to you. Okay, then what?
Moses told the Lord what the people had said. King James Version, verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow."
That means sanctify them. Don't let them go near their wives. Don't let them have sexual intercourse with their wives. Because that's a worldly thing that people do to appropriate children. And clean them up and sanctify them. Set them aside because they're going to hear my voice. They're going to get afraid of me. I'm going to make them so afraid of me that they'll want to serve me until the fear leaves them. Anytime somebody doesn't really fear and tremble at the word of the Lord, they are not saved anymore. No more. Okay? Then what?
"Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai."
Yeah, right in the sight of them.
Translation verses 10 and 11. Then the Lord told Moses, quote, "Go down and prepare the people for my visit. Purify them today and tomorrow, and have them wash their clothing. Be sure they are ready on the third day, for I will come down upon Mount Sinai as all the people watch." King James Version, verse 12. "And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount." And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, "Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives."
Yeah, don't go. Don't have sex with your wives. Then what else?
"And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Translation, verse 12 through 16. Set boundary lines that the people may not pass. Warn them, quote, be careful, exclamation mark. Do not go up on the mountain or even touch its boundaries. Those who do will certainly die, exclamation mark. Any people or animals that cross the boundary must be stoned to death or shot with arrows. They must not be touched by human hands. The people must stay away from the mountain until they hear one long blast from the ram's horn. Then they must gather at the foot of the mountain, unquote. So Moses went down to the people. He purified them for worship and had them wash their clothing. He told them, quote, get ready for an important event 2 days from now. And until then, abstain from having sexual intercourse, unquote. On the morning of the third day, there was a powerful thunder and lightning storm, and a dense cloud came down upon the mountain. There was a long, loud blast from a ram's horn, and all the people trembled. King James Version, verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly.
This is a tremendous mountain. Well, that thing just quaking greatly means violently. Okay, then go ahead. Keep going in the same King James.
And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice.
It shows that Moses is talking, the one that is chosen, highly called, spoke, and God talked to him so that the others could hear. He was like talking to them through to Moses. They just get to eavesdrop, just like you can hear what the chosen, the called and elect ones are saying back to you as to what God said to them. You're supposed to listen. Amen?
Amen.
So God this time is to warn these people and let them know that I talk to you, Moses, because they're going to be so afraid of me that they're not going to want to hear again from me anyway. They're only going to want to hear your human voice, not this long trumpet. You know, a person can hold their breath so long when they're blowing a trumpet. I did a promotion for a singer called Rovan. And he was at the Dunes Hotel, the head of the star of the Casino de Paris show. And one time, he had a very big voice and was able to hold a note for a long time. He was an opera singer. And he held a note so long, and the trumpet player in the orchestra tried to hold the note as long as Rovan did, and they passed out. The trumpet player passed out. Well, this horn blast here was long and loud, and the longer it went, the louder it got. So whoever was blowing that horn had lots of wind in their lungs. Amen?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, he is the breath of all human and every animal living and every bird and everything else that's living. He could hold that note from then until now. Amen?
Amen.
He could make Rovan pass out. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? After the first minute. Okay, then what else?
Verse 20. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up.
He didn't call anybody else up there. He called Moses up there. So don't be getting into your head that you can usurp authority. Amen?
Amen.
He didn't call you. He called you to come into the ministry, but he didn't choose you to run the ministry. So get that out of your heads, all right? And he called you to listen and to communicate. Amen?
Amen.
You're tangling with this same kind of God. He didn't change. You're saying because the more unruly you get, the more of a wimp he becomes? He's not a wimp, okay? He's not even one bit of a wimp, all right? You are a wimp. I am a wimp compared to him. Okay, all the people in the world are wimps compared to him. All right, then what?
And Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people, and spake unto them. Translation, verse 17 through 25. Moses led them out from the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the hill of the mountain. All Mount Sinai was covered with smoke, because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. The smoke billowed into the sky like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain shook with a violent earthquake. As the horn blast grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God thundered his reply for all the hearers. The Lord came down on the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain. Then the Lord told Moses, Go back down and warn the people not to cross the boundaries. They must not come up here to see the Lord, for those who do will die. Even the priests who regularly come near to the Lord must purify themselves, or I will destroy them. Unquote.
Hey, wait a minute. This is the God of love. He says he's going to destroy even his priests, his chosen people. Not only the chosen people, but his priests. Yes, and that's why I'm telling you people that don't follow the Lord, what do you think he's going to do to you? You've got to be totally insane to not serve him. Because him, he says he'll burn you like chaff, and you'll never stop burning, and you'll never stop feeling the burning. Now, this is the real God you're hearing from right here. Okay, then what? And he never changes. He says in the New Testament, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Verse 23, quote, But Lord, the people cannot come up on the mountain, exclamation mark, Moses protested. Quote, You already told them not to. You told me to set boundaries around the mountain and to declare it off limits, unquote.
See, and some people say, Well, I don't like that kind of a God because he would do that to his own. What are you going to do about him? You don't have any choice. That's the kind of God you have. Amen?
Amen.
You don't have any choice. You're going to face him. And he, no matter what you do, is going to judge you. If you're good, he's going to have to judge you. If you do bad, he's going to judge you. And he's going to say, you don't like him? He doesn't care if you don't like him. Because he's the one that's got the final word, and he's the one that's going to be doing the tossing down into hell. All right? What does he care what you think, you little snip, you? So whether you don't like him, that's going to even make it all the more hotter on you. Because he doesn't like people that don't like him. You know why? Because he's a good God. Amen?
Amen.
You don't like him. Who do you think you are? You little twit. Okay, then what?
But the Lord said, quote, Go down anyway and bring Aaron back with you. In the meantime, do not let the priests or the people cross the boundaries to come up here. If they do, I will punish them, unquote.
But we don't want you to punish us. So what? So what you don't want him to punish you? He said he's going to do it anyway. Okay, belligerent one. Idiot. Okay, what else?
So Moses went down to the people and told them what the Lord had said.
Amen. Okay, so that was the last verse, in chapter 19 of Exodus, and now we're going to do some commentary. All right, as though I haven't done any commentary thus far. Okay, what else?
Chapter 19, verse 5-7. Quote, "Now if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the nations of the earth, for all the earth belongs to me, and you will be to me a kingdom of priests, my holy nation. Give this message to the Israelites." Unquote. Moses returned from the mountain and called together the leaders of the people and told them what the Lord had said. Unquote. A kingdom of priests, worship, and the kingdom. In these verses, the Lord indicates his objective for his delivered people. His purpose for their destiny requires...
And his purpose for delivering them was what? That he required what?
Their understanding his essential priority for them.
And doing what he said. Okay, then what else?
Worship. His redemptive goal and kingdom reinstatement.
Right, and worshiping the Lord is serving him. And if you're serving the devil, that means that you're worshiping the devil. Because to serve somebody is the same as to worship them. To serve the Lord means that you're worshiping him. To serve Satan means that you're doing against what God wants, but you're doing what the devil wants you to do. Well, we just don't understand that. Whether you understand it or not, that's the way it is. Okay, then what?
As they learn to worship as a nation of priests, they will discover his foundational means for their possessing their future victories as ones whose domain, or, quote, kingdom, unquote, he has promised.
Right. He has promised with conditions. What's that guy's name that preaches in Atlanta, Georgia, that says God loves you unconditionally? Yeah, Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley, you're a liar, my friend. You're a liar. Repent. Tell the people the truth before it's too late. You just want to have a large congregation. You just want to have security here on this side of eternity where they give you money for saying lies. Repent, Mr. Stanley. Charles Stanley, repent. Okay, then what?
Their restored rule from sharing to, quote, kingdom, unquote, possession extends from their walk before God in worship. Israel's deliverance from Egypt is not only a triumphant testimony. It is God's timeless type showing his plans and methods for the church's deliverance and intended conquest.
So it's not only a testimony, you know, of his power, but it's also to show the people of the Lord that how he delivers and how he will continue delivering, because he's not going to... He knew these people were rebellious, and he still delivered them because he wanted to... He wanted them to have faith in his delivering power so that they would serve him, and that he wanted them to fear him so that they would serve him. Because if a person doesn't fear somebody, well, they won't serve him. That's the reason people serve the world government, Satan's government, and church, cult, and the media, is because they fear Satan and his government far more than they just really don't fear God at all, because all these false preachers say that God is his love and he wants you to have fun, he wants you to laugh rather than be in the house of mourning. Rather than the house of mirth. Okay, keep going.
This can be found in 1 Corinthians 10:11. Quote, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Unquote.
In other words, he's saying all these things happen in the Bible so you can tell what kind of a God there is. So you can tell, it's to admonish you, you know, don't get out of line. He said, if you even cross this boundary line here, you're going to die. You'll either be stoned to death or be shot through with arrows. Now, I'm a good God, but I'm severe. I mean, you got to do what I tell you. Because if you want all the things that I have stored up for you here on this earth and in eternity, you have to do what I say, because I'm not going to bless you. As a matter of fact, if you do the opposite, I'm going to stone you. I'm going to shoot you through. I'm going to burn you. Well, what kind of God is that? I don't like that kind of a God. Well, he told you, he doesn't care what you like. If you don't like him, then he's going to, that's going to be the all the hotter for you. So you got to learn to love the Lord, because he delivers, all right? Okay? Unless you want to burn, then go ahead and hate him. See if he cares. You're the one that's going to care. He's not going to burn if you hate him. It's not going to be any sweat off of his nose if you hate him. All you are is a piece of human flesh, a semi-grown-up fetus, or a full-grown fetus, or a toddler fetus, or whatever you are. That's all you are, is just flesh and bone. And flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to become spiritual before you can enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay? You have to become a new creature. You have to become spiritual. And if you hate the Lord, you're of the wrong spirit. You're the spirit of Satan. And Satan, of course, is going to burn in hell and all those that are of his spirit. Now go ahead.
Also in Acts 14, 21 and 22, quote, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God," unquote.
Sure, if you don't really fear God to keep his commandments, you will not endure tribulation. And we all have to go through tribulation. All those that are in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. We must endure persecution and tribulation. So you won't go through it if you don't fear God. What will happen to you if you fall away? So God wants you to just read these scriptures and tremble at the thought of falling away from his word. Because he is the word. To take on some spirit. There's a lot of seducing spirits in these last days, the Bible says. And these seducing spirits are seducing you. They want you to not believe the word of God, so that you'll fall away. That's why there's this big campaign by the world government to cause you to... They hate the word of God. Take it off the money. Take it out of the schools. Take it out of... don't even mention the word of God. It's a sin to mention God's name. Why do you think the devil would do something like that? Because they want you to do what they say. But you better keep the God, not only the name of God on your lips and in your heart, you better keep the Lord himself in there. Because it's a straight and narrow walk, and few there are that will make it. Many people sitting in this church today will not make it, because they just are too afraid of Satan's government. And they're not at all fearful of the Lord. And these scriptures are written here for our admonition, to show us that God is far more terrifying than Pharaoh or any world government. I guarantee you, if President Bush is standing on one mountain and the Lord was raining down and shaking the mountain that you're standing on violently, or below it, which one are you going to fall down before, Mr. Bush or the Lord?
The Lord.
Smart decision. Case closed. Okay? Then what? And that's what's going to happen. Okay, then what?
Also in Psalm 22:3.
Or worse yet, it's just that little bent-over, pink-looking pope is telling you to do something. He's standing on some little anthill. And then the Lord's thundering down, comes down and quaking the mount of God. And with this long ram horn thing that's blasting into your spirit, and you hear the voice, a voice that is just totally unhuman. and it's just ringing right through your soul and every fiber of your being, you're going to bow down before the Pope?
No.
I mean, that's why I know that everybody that does that is a goofball. A satanic goofball. Okay, then what else? And they deserve to go to hell, according to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I believe the Lord. I believe that hell's fashioned just for them. Okay, then what?
Also in Psalm 22:3, quote, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel," unquote.
Yeah, the same praises that Israel or Jacob had for the Lord. You inhabit. The praise, God inhabits the praises of the saints. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when the Lord comes down and he's inhabiting you, you're full of joy and you're powerful in the Lord then. Okay? I can't have any joy falling down before this bent over half man pink looking Pope or President Bush that plays dress up and flies in on an aircraft carrier, you know, with this macho stance of his. I can't go for that. Or somebody walking around in a gown, you know, like these false prophets do. And they tell you it's all the exact opposite of what the Lord is saying. Okay, now let's go.
19:5-6, quote, "Now if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the nations of the earth."
That isn't enough to be his own special treasure? Oh man, you're too much. Then what else?
"For all the earth belongs to me, and you will be to me a kingdom of priests, my holy nation," unquote. "Give this message to the Israelites," unquote. God placed his requirements and stipulations on those who were chosen to be his people. Are you God's people? Then you have to follow his stipulations. This type of covenant was common during this period of history between an overlord and his subjects. And it's the same today. The overlord blessed and protected the people in exchange for loyalty and obedience, and that's exactly the same way it is today. 19:5, quote, "Now if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the nations of the earth, for all the earth belongs to me," unquote. "You shall be a special treasure to me." This was what their relationships would be to him, and it is today the same if you accept the covenant. 19:6, quote, "And you will be to me a kingdom of priests, my holy nation. Give this message to the Israelites," unquote. Even with priests, God had complete sway in all things, since all the earth is his. Verse 5, and his obedient, loyal people would have dominion in the earth, just as he gave them at the beginning of the world when he just created human beings, Adam and Eve. Holy nation describes a people set apart from the world, dedicated to the Lord God and his service, indwelt by his presence in these last days. 19:10, quote, "Then the Lord told Moses," quote, "Go down and prepare the people for my visit. Purify them today and tomorrow, and have them wash their clothing," unquote. To prepare for God's presence, the people were instructed to purify themselves by washing their clothing. In addition to this physical consecration was an implied spiritual preparation. Verse 14. They were told to separate themselves from those things in which they normally participated, such as sexual intercourse. 19:15, quote, "He told them," quote, "get ready for an important event 2 days from now, and until then abstain from having sexual intercourse," unquote. do not come near your wives. He instructed the men not to have sexual relationships with their wives. Sexual relations involved their whole being and would distract from the sacrificial process. 1 Corinthians 7:5. Quote, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Unquote.
Right, there's also a scripture that tells you that you don't have to have sexual relationships with your wife if she doesn't, if she is not deserving of it. Like, for instance, if she lies to you, or if she committed fornication with her eyes on you, or if she in her heart against you, or if she is not a wife unto you, to help with the children and the and you, and to help you, to back you up in the ministry, and so on and so forth. It's you have to, but if she does, then you have to give her due benevolence. And it doesn't make any difference how angry they might get. It still has to be due to them. If they don't communicate with you, then they don't deserve any benevolence. Okay, and then what else?
19, verse 16 through 25. In these verses here, all Israel had the experience Moses had known at Mount Sinai.
Because the Lord talked to him in the burning bush, and now all of them had the same experience. Amen?
Amen.
Talked to him out of the cloud, the fire and the cloud, both. Then what else? In the smoke and the earthquake and the trumpet. All right, then what?
The intent is clear. God is coming to his people to give instruction. Though personal, their relationship with God will have definite boundaries. 19, verse 23 through 24. Quote, but Lord, the people cannot come up to the mountain! Unquote. Moses protested. You already told them not to. You told me to set boundaries around the mountain and to declare it off limits.
As if God, you know, is seen on forgot or something, you know? Oh yeah, I forgot. Okay, then what?
But the Lord said, quote, go down anyway and bring Aaron back with you. In the meantime, do not let the priests or the people cross the boundaries to come up here. If they do, I will punish them. Unquote.
He knew the stupidity of people's brains, so he wanted to just reinstate that. Because he knew that all of them would probably unglue completely if they started going across the line there and he started putting them all to death. Amen? They'd really get scared. If in the New Testament people, the whole church got scared when God dropped Ananias and Sapphira dead for lying to the Holy Spirit, you can imagine what would happen here when they see all these people getting killed if they cross the line. He says, go down and warn them again, is what he's saying. Okay? Then what?
The boundaries were due to God's holiness. This separation can be bridged only by Jesus Christ.
Yes, but in this bridge, when we get to God through Christ, we have to stay holy, or that bridge will be broken again, because the Lord will not live in people that sin, and will not let him... he will not live in anyone that sins, and no one can live that sins. The soul that sins shall die. Surely die. Then what else?
This separation can be bridged only by Jesus Christ, who enables redeemed men to enter, quote, presence behind the veil, unquote.
His presence behind the veil, right. Okay, then what else?
Hebrews 6:19, quote, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Unquote. 19, verse 20. Quote, The Lord came down on the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain, unquote. The words, quote, went up, unquote, quote, Allah, unquote, Strong's number 5927, to ascend, to go up, also means to rise. This verb appears more than 800 times in the Old Testament.
I'm talking about Strong's Concordance. Okay, then what else?
In addition to the obvious meaning of, quote, go up, unquote, quote, Allah, unquote, can mean, quote, bring up, unquote, or, quote, offer up, unquote, when referring to sacrifices. Furthermore, the whole burnt offering is called, quote, Allah, unquote, or Olah, unquote.
Okay, then what?
Because the smoke from the offering ascended to heaven. In Psalm 24:3, quote, Allah, unquote, refers to ascending God's holy hill by the righteous. Quote, Allah, unquote, is also the root of the word Aliyah, unquote, or, quote, ascension, unquote, or, quote, going up, unquote, which especially refers to going up to Sion, or to return to Israel from the lands of dispersion. Finally, quote, Allah, unquote, is the root of Elyon, highest, unquote, which is part of the divine title, quote, El, unquote, or, quote, Elyon, the Most High God, unquote. 19 verse 2 through 6.
Just let them read that.
Israel's new sense of identity and ability was to be founded upon its relationship with God. The Israelites had suffered under the Egyptian bondage for so long that their sense of identity had been grooved into them by that terrible experience.
All they could identify themselves as being is just slaves, because they'd been under the in Egypt for over 400 years, and so they needed to know now that they were the head instead of the tail. And it takes a long time to make that transformation if you really are not concentrating on the Lord. And that's what people today should realize, is that they're no longer the same old person. You're not the tail anymore. You're not lost. You're not unsaved anymore. You're saved, you're born again, you're the head. You've got God to protect you and fight for you. And you need to know that in order to be able to go boldly before the throne of the Lord to get an answer from Him. Amen?
Amen.
So know you're saved. And the way you really know it is when you're keeping all of His commandments. And if you haven't been doing that, then start now. Okay? Then what?
Now God had graciously, powerfully delivered them and had brought them to Himself. He delivered them out of the hands of the slave drivers. The people of Israel still couldn't get that out of their minds.
Even though he kills all these people in Egypt, takes their firstborn, opens the Red Sea, you'd think they'd get it through their heads. God likes us and doesn't like them. Amen?
Amen.
God fights for us and not for them. So you got to get that through your head. If we're all keeping God's commandments, you're going to see heaven and earth move for us, okay? Because again, I say unto you that the Bible says that we control the things that are on earth, done on earth here and in heaven. For whatsoever we bind on earth, we ask God to bind on earth, He will also do it from heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So who's controlling heaven anyway but God's people? Amen?
Amen.
And whatsoever we loose, whatever we let go run rampant on this earth, is God will let run rampant on earth. If we let the devil just go come and keep coming and attacking us and everything without saying anything to the Lord, without binding it here on earth, as we talk to God in heaven, well, then we're just going to be overrun. All right? Do you understand?
Yes.
So we run the universe. Amen?
Amen.
Or we don't run it. One of the two. But you have to realize that we are the Lord's people and that He wants to fight for us, but He wants us to ask Him to do it. He wants to know if we believe Him enough. or if we still think we're in the slavery of the devil, if we think we're still being controlled by the devil, then we're not going to call on God for these things. If we think we're still under the influence of the devil, because we can't seem to turn our eyes away from sin and to flee from the very appearance of evil, that we don't have the boldness to go before the throne of the Lord to ask him to bind the things that we see that are wrong on this earth, in on earth as he sees that needs to be done in heaven. Don't you think that our God wants to bind the things here on earth that are going crazy down here? But he wants his people, he wants to hear from us to do that. Otherwise, he'll let us fall dead, or he'll let the Egyptians keep ruling after us. Remember, God only moved and sent a Savior in Moses and Aaron when they cried out to God to bind that which was going on earth in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
When they did, and you can look in the book of Judges and see that happen one time after the other, all throughout the Bible, when the people finally called out to God, bind these things, Lord, on earth. Bind them. We're asking you to bind them. We're binding them here by calling on you. We can't bind them. I hear people on television saying, oh, bind this. I bind this, Lord. I bind it. No, you don't bind anything. You call on God. Lord, we bind this by calling on you to bind it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Lord, you see all these evil things that are going on earth here. Bind them. We don't have a ghost of a chance here on earth against all these things, these people, these evil people, this wickedness, the powers of darkness. It has to be God do it. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to say, oh, Father God, bind all these things, all these people that are against us. Bind them on earth. Bind them in heaven, Lord, so that they're bound here on earth. We believe that you'll do that, and we know that when we believe that we have it already, that it's done, all right? And we know that if we keep your commandments, then you will bind these things for us. You will fight for us this way. Because we're asking, we're trusting you to do it. We believe we already have it because your word says we do if we believe. Amen?
Amen.
That's how you fight the devil. You don't fight the devil by filtering into politics, world politics. For God's sake, that's the devil telling you to do that. Amen?
Amen.
These people in Egypt didn't need to join politics, Egyptian politics, to get free from them, did they?
No,
they had to join the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what we have to do, because these are our examples. Amen? Is how to get things done here on this earth, and how to make God move for us in heaven. Amen? He tells us exactly the formula. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so why do you sit idle? Come on, let's all pray, you know. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, never forget that, because that's the whole secret, which is not a secret at all if you read the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Whatsoever, anything, everything, whatsoever, you bind on earth. And we're supposed to be priests. That means that we call on God. Amen?
Amen.
Through Jesus. Whatsoever you buy, anything you want bound on earth, you want to put a stop to it? You want to put the skids to it? Call on me, all right? And I'll bind. You'll be binding everything that you don't like on earth, that I don't like. Now, you're not going to bind Tony or people that I like. Because the more you try to bind him, the more I'm going to get you, okay? Because he's one of my boys, all right? But anything I don't like, and is of the devil, and you know it is of the devil by reading the Bible, bind that on earth by calling on me. Lord, bind these things on earth. Bind them in heaven. Lord, execute these orders from heaven to bind this on earth. And it's us doing it, because he wouldn't do it if we didn't ask. Amen?
Amen.
Do you capisce? Do you capito? Do you comprende? Do you understand? Do you verstehen? Alfie. Okay? Do it. Don't ever stop doing it. Okay? Because there's a lot of evil in this world. And there's a lot that God... We want God to bind on earth here. He wants us to bind it first, though. Okay? bind everything that's evil on earth. That's you can say the whole thing. I don't have to make a laundry list. Bind everything that's evil on this earth, Lord. You know what I see. The Pope, this, all these wars, all these different things. Start sending down. How about, Lord, I'm not going to tell you how to do it, but you said you're going to send 7 major plagues. Can we get started on that now, Lord? Right now? And keep us safe from it? Just as you kept the children of Israel safe from all the plagues while they lived in Goshen, while we live in your spirit, that's Goshen. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah! Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Living in the Lord's spirit is Goshen. All right, then what?
The people of Israel still couldn't get that out of their minds, that they were slaves.
Yeah, we got to get that out of our minds. Have faith, have confidence, have boldness. Go up to the throne and let's get this job done down here. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're in charge. God said so. He wanted us to take power and dominion over the earth. Amen?
Amen.
He gave us power and dominion over the earth. He gave it to Adam and he sold out to the devil because the devil believed that he's going to even be smarter than what God said. Be like God if you do what Satan does. Don't believe that. Believe God. Have power and dominion over the... Take it. Take it. And he says, the righteous take it with force and violence. Go up to the throne and ask him. And stand on his word, okay? He's not going to get angry at you, say, when you stand on his word. He's going to pat you on the head. Amen?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. And what else?
They needed to see themselves differently now. They needed to see themselves as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.
And we're priests and kings, amen? We're supposed to rule here for the Lord. And he's the king of us kings. He's the king of kings. Not the kings of this earth, but us, the ones that are really take by force and violence. The kings. We rule for the Lord here. Amen?
Amen.
We know we can't get into politics and stuff like that. That's really counterproductive. Get a hold of the king of kings. Amen?
Amen.
You kings and priests. And let's get it done. He'll do it. What else?
And that was 19 verse 6. They were no longer a nation of slaves at all.
Neither are we. Well, I don't want to be I'm not going to be under Satan's dominion. I'm taking power and dominion over him. Okay? I'm the king. Not him. Not Bush. I'm the king, one of the kings of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
He's no king. No satanic person is king over me. I won't let them be. Okay, what else?
God was their king. And as we progress, as we become more and more mature in the Lord, we also need to see ourselves as people loved and blessed by God, not as slaves to sin any longer, or to the world, or dependency on any drugs, or narcotics, or alcohol,
or
illicit sex, or anything. But we need to cast all of our cares upon the Lord.
Sex is fine, but not illicit sex, adultery and fornication, okay? The Lord ordains marital sex, amen?
Amen.
Okay, but not illicit sex, or not homosexual perverted sex, or lesbianism. Okay, then what?
But we need to cast all of our cares upon the Lord, and only on him. He must be our only dependency.
We have to depend only on him. Who in this world can we depend on but him? Nobody. Amen?
Amen.
Look at all these people depending on President Bush. The Pope. Even Bush says he depends totally on the Pope. This bent over creature. Okay, then what else?
19 verse 7 through 8. Quote, Moses returned from the mountain and called together the leaders of the people and told them what the Lord had said. They all responded together, quote, We will certainly do everything the Lord asks of us, unquote. And Moses brought the people's answer back to the Lord, unquote. When Moses returned from God's presence and asked for the people's response, they gave him the right answer, all right. Quote, We will certainly do everything the Lord asks of us, unquote. 19 verse 8. But had they really counted the cost before giving their response? Luke 14:28. Quote, For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Unquote.
You know, in other words, we have to count the cost. The Lord says we're going to suffer persecution, we're going to go through trials and tribulations. We have to keep our mind totally on the Lord. We have to give up the world. We have to give up the flesh. We have the lust of the world, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, sin, and Satan in the world. Count the cost. If you say, no, I still want all these things, then don't call yourself a Christian. Get out. Okay, because there is a mighty nation being formed now, right here on earth, from heaven. And if you don't want to count the cost and say, I have to give up all these things, then get out. And if you don't, I'll put you out. Because the Lord tells us to measure people up to the Word of God, and if they don't measure up, put them out. Okay? Now, if you haven't got the boldness to just step and say, be honest, or the honesty to be honest with yourself, and get out, well, then I'll be forced to do it. Because the Lord commands me to do it. I don't want to put people, I want them to shape up. And people that want real power from God, they want real power. You can't get it from anybody else but God. There is no other power. Amen?
Amen.
All power in heaven and earth belongs to the Lord, he says. All power. So if you go any other route, you won't have any power at all. Okay, then what?
It is difficult for people needing to become mature to be completely honest with the others, even with themselves. Their rapid-fire answer was more than likely motivated by a fearful desire to appease their terrifying God. It was not properly motivated by a wholesome, holy love and pure love for Him, for God.
Yeah, no, it's good to be fearful of the Lord, but don't be saying things just because you're fearful of Him that you're not going to do. That's it. Praise the Lord, that's chapter 19 of the book of Exodus. And God, I pray that you quicken that unto every one of us. And you've anointed to where we got a lot of recall from a lot of the other places in the Word of God tonight. And Lord, be with us until chapter 20. Just another day in the Lord, one day at a time. Meditate, think about all these things. Because the things that we are called to do are on this earth. And we're called to bind the things on this earth. Have God do it. Ask God to do it, and He will. And I thank God that you're going to do it. And I praise and thank you, Lord God. And until chapter 20, God bless you and praise the Lord.